chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Beth. Amen. Good. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about language today, believe it or not. But we find ourselves in a pretty good place today. We find ourselves in a place of continuing to look at this marvelous prayer that Jesus gave to us as an example of how we should pray. And we've learned a lot of things about it. We've learned a lot of things about the kingdom of God. We've learned a lot about how we are supposed to pray and why we should pray. We learned that the kingdom of God is where Jesus is. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, "The kingdom of God is near you." And he said, "It shall be in you." So if the kingdom of God was where Jesus was his, he was walking on the earth, then the kingdom of God, when he comes within our lives, is within you and me. We are little kingdoms. We found that out. And we realize that God is the great supplier of our needs. He formed and created everything by his word, and all of that belongs to him, and he desires to give it to you and me. And today, we're going to talk about this passage, a part of the passage that talks about our debts, and talks about debts. Forgive us our debts. So, the question is, what debts do we owe? We're going to look at the original word for debts, and we're going to find out why we as Presbyterians, because we're always right, do the right way, right? Well, how many grew up saying trespasses? Right. How many grew up saying sins? Anybody in here say, "Forgive us our sins"? How many grew up saying debts, all you Presbyterians? Right. Right. Forgive us our debts. So the question is, you know, what debts do we owe? What are we talking about when we're talking about debts? How would you say that word, Drew, in the Greek?
Aphelema.
Aphelema. Right. I just put it as simple as I could underneath there. Ophelema is the term for debt that Jesus used in that passage. Well, it's the term that is translated into the Greek, and now we translate it, to say debts. It really is pretty much the best translation of that word. That's why we as Presbyterians say debts. Now, it does mean sins. It does mean trespasses. It means the things that we do wrong against others and against God. But these are the debts that really we're talking about, and this is how this word can be translated. First of all, it means a debt. It means an offense or a sin. Forgive us our debts. So we're asking God to forgive our debt to Him, our offenses to others and to Him, and our sins to Him. But also it means the result of having a debt, focusing on the after effect of the obligation. Does that make sense? I'll explain it here in a sec. Here's what that really means. When he says, forgive us our debts, the most common word that we use for sin is another word that we use in the scriptures from the Greek is what? Hamartia, right? You've probably heard that before. Hamartia is a word that we use for sins. It means to fall short. It means to come up short of the glory of God, or to come up short in any particular way. So that word is used quite often. But in this passage, that's the word that we have. And it's different from hamartia. Sins are not only wrong things that we do, but they are the right things that we fail to do. So let's take a look at this. Two different kinds of sins, all right? Two different kinds of sins. Sins of omission and sins of commission. You might have heard this before as well. Have you heard that before? Sins of commission are the wrong things that we do. Someone yells at you, slaps you in your face. Or, as me driving down the highway today, Lord knows what I did. I was driving in the right lane. I was doing well. I have no idea. I think this guy confused me with somebody else what I did. I was going above the speed limit. He passed me a little bird flew by at the same time. I'm like, what'd I do? You know? But the things that we do wrong against other people, we know we're doing them, and we do them. Sins of commission, things that we commit against other people. But there's also sins of omission, things that we could have or should have done, but did not do. Sins of omission are the things that we should have done or could have done, but we did not do. There's a couple of examples found in Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, look there. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. And here's what Jesus had to say about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Jesus replied with a story. He said, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. That would be a sin of commission. Yes, exactly. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. That would be a sin of omission. Even commission, really, kind of in a way. But more omission. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Poor sod. And then he walks over there. That would be a sin of omission. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion on him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If this bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Sins of omission. James was even a little bit more specific in just a verse from James chapter 4. Pretty clear here. In chapter 4 and verse 17, talking about self-confidence here, being too cocky, too self-confident, warning against judging others and things like that. But in verse 17, he says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Sins of omission. I do them all the time. And I think that there are a lot of sins, a lot of things that I do that I don't even realize I'm doing them until after the fact. Or sins that I know that I, things that I should have done that I don't know until after I've gone through the situation and I look back and I said, you know, I should have done this and I should have done that. I got to tell you, probably the first 10 years of pastoral ministry, I was led constantly by guilt. And it creeps back into my life periodically. Because I feel like when I'm in the office studying or translating, when I'm in the office doing that, I think to myself, boy, you know, I really should be over here doing this with so-and-so, or I should be up there doing that. Or when I'm out there doing that with them, I think, you know, I really should be in the office studying. I'm really kind of behind in what I need to do. Sins of omission. Folks, we do them all the time. And I really believe that's a big part of what Jesus was saying. Lord, forgive us those kind of sins that we don't realize we're doing. Right? Does that make sense? So we're indebted, if you will, not only to God, but to other people for the sins that we have committed against them. The things that we have done against them have caused us to owe someone else. We may not have known that we did this. Or we may have done something that we knew we should have done, but we didn't do. And we ask the Lord here, we say, Lord, help me. Help me here, because help me for the times, and forgive me for the times when I should have done something and I didn't do something. Or forgive me for the times when I don't remember, or I didn't do something and I realized until after the fact that I should have done. Are you with me? Yeah. Those sins that we don't know about, the debts that we owe to other people and to God for the sins that we commit against others. We do them all the time. We really do. And so Jesus, I certainly believe that he's talking about the sins that we do commit, the sins of commission, but I think it also includes very much a big part of, that's why I use that word, a big part of the sins that we don't realize. Forgive us, Lord, for those. You see, the only solution to this is for God to forgive us of those debts so we can move forward in our lives and our relationship with him. We can be crippled if we constantly were thinking about those people that we offended without even knowing we offended them. Standing up here on Sunday morning is a scary thing. Because I think sometimes when I leave on the way home, I would say, oh boy, Heather, you know, I talked about such and such, and I hope I didn't offend so and so by doing that. Because that happens all the time. And it's not like I'm up here planning, okay, you know, I'm going to offend Harold today, and I'm really going to... I wouldn't do that. I'd never do that. But this is what we do. We don't even realize it. If your heart is beating and if you are thinking, you're probably going to offend somebody somewhere along the way. It's kind of life. So, Jesus said, "Forgive us, Lord, of those kinds of sins, commission, omission. Forgive us for the things that we do against others. As we forgive those who do these sins against us." Unforgiven debts that we have accumulated with God affects our relationship with Him. Things like getting behind at work, not following through with a friend, not doing our best to assist our children, ignoring our spouses. That's an interesting way to spell that. Our spouse's needs, right? Forgive us our debts, what we have not done. Then He says, "I need you to forgive other people for the things that they've done against you." So why do we forgive? There's a lot of writing here, if you're writing any of this down, so I'll go through it slowly. Why do we forgive? First of all, we don't forgive because it comes naturally, because it doesn't. When somebody has really offended you, whether they meant it or not, does it come natural for you to say, "Oh, that's okay"? No, it don't. I've been preaching for 32 years. And boy, sometimes I've offended folks, and I never meant to offend anybody. But boy, sometimes, they will hold a grudge. So you see, forgiving doesn't come naturally. It really doesn't. Secondly, it's not because people deserve it to be forgiven. Some of the people who've really offended you don't deserve to be forgiven. I got a few of those in my life. Not many, I think. But they don't deserve to be forgiven. So we don't do it because they deserve it. For if they did deserve it, we would not need to forgive them. If they deserve to be forgiven, then you wouldn't. You see what I'm saying? Number three is not because we understand why they did what they did. For if we can explain it away, there's no need to forgive. So we don't forgive other people because we understand why they did it. Because again, if we understand what they did, then we would say, "Well, okay, I understand why you said that." And see? Forgive us those sins of offense and commission. Things that are committed against us and that we've committed to other people, but the things that have happened to us, where we've been offended or we've been hurt. You know, if we understand why they did it, we can explain it away. And fourth, we don't sin feel better, even though we will. Now tell me, don't you feel better when you forgive somebody? Don't you? You see, when we don't forgive other people, my mother and father used to say, it sits in your craw. Now, I have no idea what a craw is. And maybe somebody's going to find out what a craw is, but if you don't forgive somebody what they've done against you, it will sit in your craw. And you begin to burn, and that burn turns into bitterness. Now let me ask you, when that little offense was done toward you, and that person may not have even known it, and that sits in the craw, probably somewhere in the gallbladder, although I had my gallbladder taken out. If it sits in your craw and turns into bitterness, who are you hurting? You or the person who offended you? You see, I love being a Presbyterian, and I'll tell you why. We believe in praying the Lord's Prayer every time we're together. At a wedding, at a funeral, wherever we are, whatever service we provide to one another, we say the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because we realize the importance of saying, Lord, forgive our debts, our sins against other people, as we forgive those who've offended us. It's better to ask for forgiveness and to forgive someone else what they've done against you. It's not easy. And it isn't done flippantly. But the only person you are hurting is you. There is someone that Heather and I know, not from the church, but, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but you do have somebody in your life that no matter what you do, you're wrong. You know, you're always, you know, you never do something right. And we just, you know, we're to the place now where we're going and saying, I'm sorry, I've offended you. Whatever I did, I'm really sorry, you know. This person is just developing more and more a wall around themselves. It's just this wall, and it's closing in on her. And it's the saddest thing. And so I haven't yet, but I really think the thing that I'm going to say to her is, you're going to be a very lonely person if you just close in the walls. I think Simon and Garfunkel had it right. Really. I am a rock. I am an island. And a rock feels no pain. And an island never cries. Baloney. If you want a miserable life, gang, just close yourself in. Think that you can form a bubble around yourself and nobody can offend you. And brother, you're going to be the most miserable person alive. All those things that anybody's ever done against you, you're going to hang on to that in the old craw. And your craw is going to get infected, and you're going to need it removed. But forgive. Just forgive. Your relationship with that person may not ever be perfect again, but just forgive, for crying out loud. Forgive, forgive, forgive. That's what God wants us to do. Didn't spend too much time on that. Two questions, and then I'm done. Forgive me for going over. You have to now. Two questions. Have you been forgiven by God? The other question is, who do you need to forgive then? If you've been forgiven by Him, who do you need to forgive? He forgave all the sins that you committed in your life, past, present, and future. Who do you need to forgive? And I'm not so sure, but I think I know human nature well enough to know that probably every one of us, if not the majority of us, have people we need to forgive. Right? Man, it's quiet in here today, ain't it? Let's pray. Lord, we recognize a few things here. We recognize just how we fall short of this. We know that You've forgiven us. We know that. And we ask, Lord, that You would give us assistance by Your Spirit to help us to forgive others. Help us, Lord, to be the example of Jesus in this way, that people will see Christ in us. We'll give You thanks for everything You do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things, and all the people of God said.
Amen. The request of God.